Welcome to our podcast, where we're exploring the controversial topic of banned books and their impact on the educational system. For decades, books have been challenged and removed from classrooms and libraries for addressing themes like race, politics, and history. Some argue that banning books protects young readers from harmful or inappropriate content, while others believe it restricts intellectual freedom and critical thinking. The effects on education are intense. When books are censored, students lose access to diverse perspectives and important discussions about real-world issues. Teachers may feel pressured to avoid certain topics, while libraries face increasing scrutiny over their collections. Today, we're going to explore the power of literature and how censorship impacts schools. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Cameron. We're going to talk about the issue of book banning and what it means for students, teachers, and society as a whole.
Joining us today is Mr. Richards, one of our amazing assistant principals. Before stepping into administration, Mr. Richards spent years as an English teacher, where he witnessed firsthand the impact books can have on students' lives.
When you were teaching, did you ever want to teach a book that was challenged or banned? If so, what was that like?
I think as an English teacher, our job is to always try to make sure we pick literature that can engage students, topics that are relevant to them, but also challenge them to think critically. I don't know if I ever sought out to try to teach a book that was banned. That wasn't like a goal. Right. My job as an English teacher was to always look for what pieces of literature can teach the concepts that I want taught per the standards that we have. What are those pieces of literature that will spark creativity, discussion among students? So those might be topics that students don't necessarily have a lot of familiarity with or can be difficult. But that's part of, I think, our job as an English teacher is to make sure we're teaching students to think critically. So were there books that I potentially taught or wanted to teach that maybe would be considered critical in some senses? Maybe. But I think the definition of critical or challenging is a bit of a misnomer, because that's left up to interpretation of each individual. For example, I taught English for a number of years, and I had one student that challenged reading the Odyssey. They believed it went against their religious beliefs because it talks about polytheism. Yet again, we're talking about Greek mythology that doesn't even exist in Greek in Greece anymore. But I think our job, and my job in that case, was to not question the student's rationale or the parent's rationale in this case. It's to provide an alternative text, and I did so. But I don't sit there you can't make everybody happy in every literature selection, because everybody has different standards for what they think is appropriate.
Right. Did you feel like censorship was kind of hard to work around? Or not?
I don't think censorship is really hard to work around, and I kind of refute the notion of censorship. I always believe, and as an English teacher and even as a parent, I believe that it's always a parent's prerogative to advocate for what they believe is in the best interest of their student. So my stance is, you have the ability to say what you do and do not want for your student. Parents don't have the ability to advocate what should and should not happen for every other student. But they always have the right to say for that student. So I don't know if that was really much of an issue moving forward, but looking back in the past. But no, we definitely had some things that maybe would have been considered controversial, but I really never had a problem with book banning or censorship or anything of that nature. I also taught theater. There were a few times where, you know, if you're doing a play and maybe the author uses some profanity, well, is that profanity really necessary for the play?
Right.
If it's truly necessary, then it needs to be included. But sometimes authors like to put in things that it could be superfluous. And if it's superfluous, then we can take that out and it doesn't change the meaning of the play, or it doesn't change anything. I think those are the things to talk about.
Have you ever seen a student's perspective change or an engagement shift because of a book they read?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things, even aging myself some. So, you know, Romeo and Juliet used to be a really popular book for freshmen to read. And even towards the end of my career in teaching English, students were going, we don't understand these two. They're both idiots. They're young and they're stupid. Like, what? We don't understand the point of this. Whereas in my first years of teaching, and even when I was a student, it was viewed as star-crossed lovers, and it was this ultimate sense of romanticism. And now maybe it's changed even again, but more students are going, they're both idiots. Like, Romeo was in love with this one woman, and the day that he breaks up with this girl, he finds Juliet, And then one night later, he wants to marry her. Like, they're ridiculous. She's 14. Like, they don't know what love is. So yeah. I think students' perceptions can change. And I think that's important for us as adults to be sensitive to that. And so even that means even pieces of literature that, you know, as an English teacher, I might love and played a profound influence in my life may not be appropriate for the students of today, because it's just a different message and you need to use a different piece of literature to reach you. So I think that's something for us to be sensitive about, is the literature that we love may be not the same as the literature that our students love. And right. I think that that's important for us as teachers to think about as well.
Yeah, and we read Romeo and Juliet our freshman year. Yeah. I know, so I loved it and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But some people did think, like, what an idiot. Like, yeah. Why did you do that?
Like, they're both idiots and they got into a fight and they're fighting about this to the death. Right. And it's over people that just met each other. Like, they all just need to grow up. And so, yeah, I had students like that were like, these two just need to grow up. Like, they shouldn't be around each other. Like, they should have a no contact order with each other. And their parents are all ridiculous. Like, can we just admit that it's, like, their students are going, this is just stupid. And so all of a sudden I'm going, and Romeo and Juliet for freshmen is kind of like a time-honored tradition. It's been that way for years. And now all of a sudden I think people are starting to rethink, should we keep doing it?
Right.
I appreciate the brilliance of William Shakespeare, but maybe we should be using other means and mechanisms for doing that. Mm-hmm. And what is our real goal through literature? Is it just to expose you guys to the classics? Or is it to also get you students to be able to think critically as well?
Definitely.
And if the real goal is to get you to think critically, we should be looking at mediums and authors that can better help you guys do that.
Yeah, I agree. How has your perspective on book bans and censorship, how has that changed after moving into an administrative role?
It really hasn't changed. And I've served in a number of different administrative roles, and like I said, I always respect the parents' opinion to advocate for what they believe is best for their child. And that right should never be taken away. But it should also never be taken away that educators are trying to do what they believe is best for the vast majority of kids that we have. And educators are professionals, just like anybody else. And so we try to use our best discretion. I know here at Mount Vernon, we have a process that if there's a new book that wants to be added, there's a process for a teacher to have the department review that book, and then it goes to an administration for review. And so I think there's a process. It shouldn't just be, here's this good book that I've loved and now I'm going to expose people to. We need to make sure we're thinking about age appropriateness for some of that content material. And what is it that we're really trying to teach with that book? So that really hasn't changed in administration. I think our goal is to make sure we're engaging students and helping them to think critically.
Yeah, and then you talked about that there's a process. What is that process and what factors go into deciding?
So here at Mount Vernon, if a teacher, there's an established list of books that are acceptable, and that's been around. So to even age myself even more, I actually started my English teaching career at Mount Vernon High School. So that's been around for an awfully long time to have that established list. So if a teacher would like to add a book to that list, they have other department members read that book. And if the department believes that it's an appropriate book to be added, then it goes to administration for review. And so we take a look at a number of different factors of what is it that we're really learning from this book, what can't be taught by using a book that's already on that list. And sometimes the answer is we just need to be able to have a book that's more relevant to students. Talking about love from the perspective of Elizabethan England, if the goal is to teach students about love, while Shakespeare can write a great many sonnets, maybe is not the most apropos way to teach students about the concept of love.
Right.
Even though I will still admire the brilliance of Shakespeare, and I'm a Shakespeare aficionado. So I think we have to look at what are those mediums, and maybe what we've been using just isn't effective anymore. And times change, and we have to change with times as well. I don't like reading any literature from someone that's been dead for less than 50 years. That's my personal preference. But on the same token, if I was back in an English classroom, I probably would have to teach something, because maybe some of those dead authors, their work just isn't as relevant to today's youth as it speaks to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of our job as teachers as well, is finding material that we can connect with, that we can get students to connect with as well. And as much as I love Romeo and Juliet towards the end of my career, I was struggling to get students to connect to that material. And so if I would have stayed in there, I don't know if I would have kept teaching Romeo and Juliet to freshmen as much as I love it immensely. I can still go in and recite the entire prologue to Romeo and Juliet to this day. Right. So,
what do you think students lose when books are removed from the curriculum?
I think if we remove books from the curriculum, one, students always have the ability to read whatever they want. And here in Mount Vernon, we're blessed. We have a really great library. People can go read whatever books they want. And I encourage students to read the books, to go read books, just to read in general. I think that's something that's disappearing, and that's such a critical skill, is just reading. But I think when we start talking about banning books, I think it depends upon the book. Obviously, there are some things that are going to be appropriate and not appropriate. If we want to talk about freedom of expression, for example, in theater, there's a play that's called Equus. They act like horses and actors are nude on stage. That wouldn't be appropriate for a high school to ever do.
Right.
It wouldn't be appropriate to send the high schoolers to see that show. And so I think there is this line. But what's appropriate and not appropriate is kind of a community standard. Every parent has their own stance, and every kid has their own stance, and teacher has their own stance of that. But I think our job as a public school is to try to find what we think is going to be appropriate for the majority of kids. It's never possible, or rarely possible, to find something that's going to be truly appropriate for everybody. There's always going to be differences of opinions, and I think that's what makes our country great, is to be able to have diversity of thought. But as a job as a teacher, trying to have every kid pick their own book is sometimes difficult, although I know a lot of teachers try to do freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. If you learned that a teacher in our building mm-hmm. was receiving a lot of pushback from like colleagues or the department on a book that they wanted to teach, what would you do to approach that situation?
Well, I think the first thing is I don't want to read the book.
Yeah.
I think the first way is there's too many things with internet and AI and various things where mm-hmm. people think that they know the purpose of a book because you've read this little snippet.
Yeah.
And I think context is important. So I think the first thing I'd want to do is I'd want to read it for myself so that I could be more well-informed.
Definitely.
I think speaking from a place of not knowing or ignorance is not the best place to be, so I'd want to know what I'm really talking about and what are people talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously everything that I read goes through a filter of my own personal filter of what do I believe is appropriate and not appropriate.
Yeah.
And so I have to try to check my own biases at the door
mm-hmm.
To the best of my ability. And they're biases for a reason because they color our experiences.
Yeah.
So I think making sure I go through that process and really try to look at what are the academic gains that can be done by this book
yeah.
and why this book, why not another book? If it is a book that's controversial, can another book teach the same concepts and have less controversy? And I think in a public school, I think that's usually appropriate for us to try to find. But sometimes we can't avoid controversy. There's controversy in this world. And so if we are wanting to prepare you guys for life after high school, there are going to be some things that might be considered controversial.
Yeah,
and I think it's important for students to learn in school that it's okay to discuss those things. And we're not trying to win one person over to another person's
right.
side, but we need to be able to learn how to disagree with people.
Yeah.
For example, I love To Kill a Mockingbird. If either of the two of you said that you hate To Kill a Mockingbird, my heart is going to cry on the inside. But I think it's important to be able to talk about, well, why is it that you didn't like To Kill a Mockingbird? What was it that you didn't like? And those conversations are important.
I agree. As we wrap up this discussion on banned books and their impact on the educational system, one thing is clear. What we choose to censor says just as much about our society as what we choose to read. While some argue that book bans protect students from controversial topics, others believe they limit critical thinking, creativity, and the ability to engage with diverse perspectives. Education should be empowering students, not sheltering them from the complexities of the world. So whether you're a teacher, a student, or a passionate reader, let's keep the conversation going. Thank you for listening to us today. If you're interested in learning more, visit uniteagainstbannedbooks.org.